are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Sunday edition of the show alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. Gino, this is the last Sunday for the next, 5 months before we have to do another show on a Sunday without an Eagles game going down, or at least expecting one on prime time, maybe Thursday, Monday night. This is the last Sunday before the NFL gets going, man. It's finally here.
We don't get the benefit of watching the great fourth preseason game of the Eagles and Jets every single year. I mean, it's one of the time-honored traditions in football. I think everybody sets their watch to it. They really know, hey, it's week four. We got one more week before the regular season starts, but we don't have it this time. We just had cut down day yesterday, and we just had the waivers come through today, which we will talk about. But it's kind of weird. We don't have any prerequisite to know what's going to happen with this team when it goes out on the field against a team wearing a different jersey, because it's been team on team. There's been no inter-team practices between two teams like they've had in the past. It's been Philadelphia Eagles playing Philadelphia Eagles. So the first week when they step out there against Washington, it's going to be a test, and they're going to be right on the front lines in the battlefield ready to go. But I think this Eagles team has a very good understanding of where they stand. And the whole thing with Carson Wentz sitting out last week for that scrimmage, I don't really think they had anything else left to prove with him, and they were ready for week one, and I think a lot of this team is ready for week one, and I think they're ready to pick up right where they left off with a bunch of new weapons for Carson Wentz and a newfound defense that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely, and the 53-man roster looks ready for next week's season opener against Washington. They're going to continue to make moves. They made some moves this morning, but yesterday they had to get that roster down to 53 players by the 4 p.m. deadline. I recapped everything they did yesterday on Locked On Eagles, so if you missed that episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any platform. You can find it there or on LockedOnEagles.com. But Gino, again, when they get to 53, the roster, they're always changing it. They're always tinkering with it. Howie Roseman already made a move this morning. They're going to have to make a cut because they did add a fourth running back. They claimed Detroit Lions running back Jason Huntley off of waivers. He was a fifth-round pick in this past 2020 NFL draft out of New Mexico State. So the Eagles do appear to be going with four running backs, Gino, and you know, you predicted them going with the returner, the fast fourth running back, despite them having three versatile backs already in Sanders, Scott, and Clement. But this team, Howie Roseman, look, he doesn't really care about having a power back. He's just trying to add as much speed on the offense as possible, and that's what Jason Huntley presents. I mean, this is a kid that ran the fastest 40 time this year for all running backs at 4.37. You combine Huntley, DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, John Hightower, Quez Watkins, who ran the second fastest 40 for receivers this year. I mean, this is the deepest track team in the league, man. They're committed to this infusion, I should say, on offense.
I tweeted it yesterday, and Howie Roseman has not really said any lies in anything that he said this year, and especially in terms of can these players run. And if you saw the tweet that I quote tweeted, I know you commented on it from Kent Lee Platty, the individual who's responsible for relative athleticism scores.
Right.
He was very high on Huntley. And I saw another tweet that said that fifth round pick that Huntley was picked with was actually from the Philadelphia Eagles in the Darius Slay trade. I don't know if it was the exact pick or Detroit's pick, but still, in essence, you really gave up a third-round pick to get Darius Slay, and now you have Huntley, a player who you really have wanted, and especially me, I know I've talked about it multiple times on the show, as a very good returner. I thought that was going to go to Killens, but apparently this team is high on Huntley, and if they went in and put a waiver claim in on him when there were some decent running backs out there on the waiver wire, like you said, they're not going for the Josh Adams type of back who was actually cut yesterday by the Jets. They're not going for that type of back anymore. I mean, you see it in Warren and Holyfield. They just didn't keep them. And frankly, that fourth running back position should be for a player like this who can add that dynamic element. Maybe Killings was still a little bit raw in that area and they wanted to go a different outlet. But I'm fine with the idea of adding 4.37 speed that Huntley brings to your return game. And also, he's a decent catcher and he's a decent runner. And with that type of speed, all you need to do is put the ball in his hands, and they're going to continue to get guys that can run just like that, that have elite athleticism and are able to make men miss in the open field.
He had 5 kickoff return touchdowns in college, mm-hmm. so he could be the kick returner by next week. He also had at least 39 catches the last 3 seasons. I was about to ask you, Gino, who gets cut between Alex mm-hmm. Singleton at linebacker, safety Rudy Ford, or Marcus Epps, but I'm on Twitter right now, and the Eagles just released Craven LeBlanc.
What?
Yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles' official
way.
Twitter account just said that they have released cornerback Craven LeBlanc. What
wow.
is happening at this? They released Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones yesterday. Craven released now. You're with 4. What is happening? You have 4 corners. It's Slay, Nickell Robey-Coleman, Avante Maddox, and Craig James. What is the logic here?
Man, to be determined. They must either have a move in store for us, or they have somebody else that they want to sign that's currently a free agent, and we will see. But in regards to the move that we were talking about, I think Brandon Brooks cannot be put on the IR until 4:00 today, so I think that will technically be a move that Huntley can come onto the team for. But now it looks like they have an open spot with Craven LeBlanc being shipped out of town.
I don't
know
get
if that's
at all, man.
I'm utterly shocked at that as well, because they're going, like you said, light, very light at the corner position. I mean, your next man up is Craig James. Something's got to happen. There has to be another domino.
Yeah, there's got to be another move, because LeBlanc, every time that kid is on the field, he makes plays. I don't know, maybe it's because they only see him as a slot corner, and mm-hmm. they know, you know, Kayvon Wallace was PFF's highest graded DB in the slot over mm-hmm. the last 3 seasons. You know, Will Parks can
play
that
role. Could be a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, you got Robey-Coleman, you got Maddox, and maybe you want one of your primary backups to be an outside guy, but I just, to me, like, I wanted them to keep 6 corners anyway, mm-hmm. and so I would have wanted them to keep both Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones. The fact that they're not keeping either, and mm-hmm. they're letting LeBlanc go, I mean, that's not the roster move for me to clear up space instead of Rudy Ford or Marcus Epps, but maybe you're right, and this is going to translate into another move at corner. But yeah, that just happened as we're recording right now. So Craven LeBlanc released from the Eagles. You know, that makes room right now for Huntley, but look, there's going to be other moves to come. I think they're going to sign Cordy Glenn, so that's going to require another spot. This is the Eagles, man, there's never a dull moment.
Ever. And yeah, I thought we were going to come on here and just talk about them claiming Huntley and then what they're going to do at left tackle probably, but now what are they going to do at corner? Because, like you said, I mean, Rasul Douglas gets claimed today by the Panthers. Sidney Jones is still out there. Maybe they bring him back. I don't know what is going to happen. Howie Roseman said he would be open to that if that were to be the case. I truly don't know. I think maybe there's some free agents out there that we skipped over on the waiver wire that my eyes just haven't seen. But, hey, Howie Roseman, I can't not trust him until he gives us a reason to. But in regards to saving money for Craven, you're not really saving anything. He's only getting $1.1 million this year.
I hate this move. I don't know what they're doing at corner yet. I want to let this play out before I really give my full opinion. But overall, right now, I'm not happy. And that's a player that the last 2 years, every time he's out there, he makes plays. He won't be exposed to waivers, though, so that's good. Zach Berman mm-hmm. reports that, so he could return after other moves if both sides want to. But that's definitely a shocker. But I was going to ask you, like, who gets cut now to, you know, open up space for Huntley? I thought it was going to be one of the 6 linebackers they kept, one of the 6 safeties, but apparently not. Craven LeBlanc released from the Eagles just now. We got to hit a break. Gino, when we come back, we'll continue to get into the cornerback position, because Locked On Eagles, it is a Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones type of show over the last couple years, and both were released yesterday, and Rasul actually found a new home this morning, so we'll get into that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Sunday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Getting back into the cornerback position, I thought they were going to keep 6. I thought your primary backups, Gino, were going to be Craven LeBlanc, Sidney Jones, and Rasul Douglas. Rasul, Sid, neither make the roster yesterday. Craven LeBlanc just released 2 minutes ago. We were talking about it in segment 1. So that's definitely a surprise, and I think it was a surprise yesterday. when they re-signed Craig James, we both said Sid or Rizul, they're not going to make the team. And you tweeted at me when Sid got released, like, oh, it looks like that's Rizul's spot. Rizul Douglas then gets waived. So, yeah, maybe there's another plan at cornerback, because right now they're sitting with four. If Slay were to get hurt, Roby Coleman or Maddox, you're down to Craig James or moving Jalen Mills back at corner from safety.
Who is the corner that they kept bringing back for the from the Jets? Like, they would release him and bring him back every, like, season, it felt like. But that's, like, the scenario we're in right now, that we're Devontae Bowsby season.
Right.
We're Shandon Sullivan season almost. Once one of these guys goes out, what are you going to do, throw Marcus Epps out there to play some slot reps?
I hope to God, no.
But I really do hope the plan is allow Jalen Mills to cover the tight ends like we were talking about. Allow Kevon Wallace to cover in the slot, which he's so good at. I mean, you mentioned it in the last segment. Like we said, it's not going to be just outside corner, nickel corner. It's going to be a whole combination of guys, a whole chessboard filled with guys like Kevon Wallace that are versatile players. At your linebacker position, you're going to have guys that are covering tight ends and guys in the slot as well. I just really don't know if going four corners is wise at any point, especially for a team that is so oft injured at that position.
Right.
You would just think that they've learned from their past mistakes, that they have some proven talent that they could bring in. Maybe there's something that we're missing, but I'm going to be confused until I see an actual move.
I agree. I do get the logic that, you know, you've got Slay, Roby Coleman, Maddox, you have Jalen Mills and Craig James.
Yeah, you're fine up top for sure.
So you can think in that way that they feel like they have five corners. My only thing is, again, they're going to go so defensive back heavy this year. And I know safety, they're going to have huge roles like Parks, Wallace, Mills, McLeod. They're all going to be covering. They're not just going to be single high safeties. It's not just going to be deep cover too. Like, they're going to be roaming around the formation. It's just, I wanted to go heavy in the defensive backfield. And to me, if I'm going to go heavy, I'm going to keep guys like LeBlanc and Douglas and Sid way more than like Marcus Epps and Rudy Ford. That's my thing is, you know, you can find the logic in using a lot of those safeties in the roles that LeBlanc would have or Sidney Jones, but just to me, like, for depth, I'd rather have those proven guys as opposed to Epps and Ford. So, and maybe Sidney Jones can come back. He did go unclaimed on waivers today. As for Rizul Douglas, though, he did get claimed by the Carolina Panthers. Gino, they are pushing hard to be the Lou DiBiase My Guy team. I mean, this is, look, Teddy Bridgewater, Curtis Samuel, Brian Burns, Jeremy Chinn, now Rizul. I'm going to be watching a lot of Panthers on the Sunday ticket, man. Zul might be their second corner next to Dante Jackson.
Our friends over at Lockdown Panthers better watch out. Lou might be coming for their
job. I'm
going to
take over as the new host.
I think that's a very good spot for him. Like, he fills that James Bradbury role really well, like that zone corner. I think that's more his speed. And he just didn't fit the Jim Schwartz system, unfortunately. No. And it kind of stinks because I was watching a video before I got on here. It was like some of the best moments in sports history, and they showed the not the actual Philly special, but the Philly special from the Falcons game in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, if Rizul Douglas doesn't make that interception in that game, there's a chance they lose. And that was a huge game because without that game, they don't make the playoffs that year. And last year, with Sidney Jones down the stretch, he made some absolutely game-changing pass breakups down the stretch against division opponents. Without those two guys, they might not be in the champion or be in the playoffs the last 2 years. So it stinks because we saw their upside, and that's what I think you and I do a decent job doing is letting guys play out in their career and giving them at least 3 years to evaluate the talent. I feel like these two got their chance, man, and unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. Sometimes it's not always the best fit in Philadelphia, and especially Rizul Douglas, I never really got his fit for Jim Schwartz's scheme.
Right.
I do think he's an NFL corner. I think Sidney Jones is an NFL corner. I just think Sid, with that injury at his pro day, like that just, I think that killed all the momentum that kid had. It really did. Like, he hasn't been the same since then, unfortunately.
Yeah, and look, you saw flashes from both of these guys, and I still believe both can be good players in the league. It's just, I also understand why the organization lost trust in both. Sidney Jones more so because he just couldn't get rid of those soft tissue injuries, and so the team just did not see him as a reliable player, and that it's understandable. Even in
another one of the things that Howie Roseman said, you got to be able to be on the field.
Yeah, availability is a key trait. And for Rasul, look, he has a niche role. You've seen him make big plays, like you're saying, against the Falcons in 2018. Down the stretch in 2018, I said it yesterday, he was PFF's number 12 ranked corner from weeks 12
results
and on.
Results Douglas, baby.
Yeah, he results Douglas. He was number one against the run. I mean, Michael Thomas was avoiding him in the divisional round of the playoffs. So Rasul has a niche role where this is a lengthy 6'2 corner, physical, great tackler, awesome instinctive ball skills in zone coverage. If you can use him right, if you want to use him the right way, that's the thing. The Eagles never wanted to use that type of player in the defensive backfield, and I understand it. They want more well-rounded guys that can cover every type of weapon, and they would rather go with the shiftier, fast, explosive corner as opposed to the bigger, stiffer guy like Rasul. So I understand it. However, I do think if a team like Carolina wants to use Rasul the right way and not expose him, like the Eagles scheme just, it exposed him because they required him to do everything. They required him to go up against fast receivers like Terry McLaurin on an island with no safety over top, and that's just not what Douglas is going to be able to do for a team.
Stephon Diggs, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, Amari Cooper. Yeah, so the Eagles scheme requires a player that isn't limited in that kind of capacity. And so that doesn't mean Douglas can't be a good player. We've seen the flashes, and the same thing with Sidney Jones. It just, like you said, it wasn't going to work in Philadelphia with what they want out of their defensive backs.
Oh, I totally agree. And I felt Sid was that guy for a time. He just, I think he's a change of scenery type guy. Like, he really needs a fresh start.
I still agree with the pick, Gino. Like, I still think the risk was worth it. Yeah, when you lost out on Dalvin Cook in the second round, to me, that was, it was high risk, but it was high reward. That kid would have been a top 10 pick if he did not tear his Achilles in that pro day. So to me,
he could have been the Derek Barnett pick if he was healthy.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. He could have been the Eagles' first round pick. So while it didn't work out, I know hindsight's 20/20, but I still think at the time the logic was sound.
I have a take on this. I tweeted it the other day. I don't know if anybody saw it, but I think Howie is beginning his second purge. I think he's getting rid of Joe's guys.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he wants Douglas's guys.
Yeah,
I really do. I mean, look at that 2017 class. That was the quote unquote Joe Douglas draft.
Right.
And 90% of those guys are gone.
Only Derek Barnett's left and Nate Geary. And we know how me and you feel about Nate Geary.
Oh, yeah. He must have been the sole Howie Roseman draft pick of
right,
that class.
Yeah. Still, or maybe Jim Schwartz like made him take Nate Geary. And that's why he's forever.
But no, man. I mean, look at it. Like, Howie's trying to build this team in his identity, you know, like, he gave those corners a chance. He said, nope, I'm going to go out and get Darius Slay. He allowed Malcolm Jenkins to walk in free agency, and he said, you know what? I'm going to keep a guy like Jalen Mills and go out and get a guy like Will Parks. I finally feel like this is Howie's team to a degree. You know, like, we've talked about this countless times. Since 2012, he only had a few years where it was really his team before Chip came in, and then it really has been other people's identity on this team. And he's had a fantastic job changing it when it matters most. Look at 2016 to 2017. He did that in great fashion. And now I feel like he's doing it again to his own degree.
Sure.
Still some question marks, but I believe that what he said, do they love football? Can they run?
Mm-hmm.
Are they available to play football?
Yep.
Are three of the biggest and most important facets of building a 53-man roster. And I love where they are at on paper, Lou. Like, yes, there are holes, but looking past 2020, which is just a complete befuddlement as it is with this whole coronavirus going on, nobody's in a stable state. 2021, minus the cap situation, which I know Howie Roseman will be able to take care of, this team is looking good. Like, in a sense, they'll be moving into their sixth year with their head coach and quarterback combination next year. They decreased the age of their roster from,
they're the 14th youngest team now in the league.
I read it was the ninth, if I am not mistaken. But, even so, you're in the bottom half for youth. You were one of the oldest teams, and now you're flipping it around and becoming young. This team is building for the long haul, which is great. And yes, it doesn't take one offseason to change a team, but you're seeing what the identity is moving forward.
Oh, they're the 14th oldest team or the 19th youngest. But last year, Geno, they were the second oldest team in the league.
Absolutely, I know. And now, even if you get rid of Jason Peters after this year, you're going to get even younger, you know? Yep. So this team is building for the long haul. They're building for the future of the game, the athleticism factor. Everybody that they drafted this year has a remarkable relative athleticism score.
And they're just the roster outside of Prince Tego Inogo.
I know. Unfortunately, I think that knee is a lot worse than what we know.
And I think they're going to sign Cordy Glenn, so I do think they intend to keep nine offensive linemen.
I like that move.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, that's a guy that's had a lot of starting experience. And even if I still want them to move Jason Peters to left tackle, but even if they still put JP at the blind side, I still want them to sign Glenn. Like, I would just feel better if they had that kind of experienced veteran as depth.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. And me and you had a good glimpse of Cordy Glenn when he was here in Buffalo. A decent tackle.
He's not Demetrius Bell.
King Dunlap and all that. No.
In the scale of Eagles tackles coming from Buffalo, he's certainly not even close to Jason Peters, but he's not on the other end with Demetrius Bell. I think he's in the middle.
No, I think you'd get serviceable reps like Halapula Vitae reps for sure.
Exactly.
Like, at this point in his career.
He'll be better than Matt Pryor if he's got to go after Chase Young next week.
100%.
I'm nervous about that, man. We'll get into the previews this week, but left tackle against that Washington defensive line is the big looking for. But again, make sure you subscribe to the show, because me and Gino will get into previews all week long, because this is the last Sunday until Eagles football next week, the season opener against Washington in D.C. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri joining you on the Sunday edition of Locked On Eagles. We'll wrap up the show coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, let's wrap up this final Sunday edition of the show without Eagles football. And, Gino, this is the time of year, like, I always feel like a kid again, when you get this cloudy 63-degree weather, it's windy, you wear a hoodie and shorts. It feels like football time. The Eagles get to 53 players. Yesterday, we're only a week away from football. I mean, just the same like kid-like excitement is there, and especially for this Eagles team. I know there's a lot of unknown with this roster, but it's just, to me, a way more exciting unit, and I can't wait to see them on the field next week. Hopefully, they don't do their typical week one first half struggling like they always do, but I can't wait to see them back on the field.
I know. I always think back to Jaguars opening game when they were just getting. That was the Allen Robinson game. Allen Hurns. It was Allen Hurns. I knew
that's
it was
right.
One of the Allens.
Destroying Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher.
Let's hope that we actually have a good Darius Slay
or
game.
Or last year, Vernon Davis hurdling Ronald Darby and Andre Sandejo.
I forget there's always one of those ridiculous moments.
Right? That every year.
I remember me and you texted each other. We were like, did that just even happen? But no, this is going to be a fun game. I think week one is going to be a big test with Terry McLaurin. Let Slay go out there and show what he's going to do against these NFC East wide receivers. You know, that's exactly what he was brought into this team to do. And we're going to see it right out of the gate. And frankly, me and you have been high on this Washington team and a lot of the moves that they've done the last 2 years.
Yeah.
The Antonio Gibson show is getting started a lot sooner than people thought. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the number one back there, it looks like, in Washington. They have Chase Young. They have my arch nemesis, Montez Sweat, who I still think is a very, very stiff edge rusher. But they also have the Eagle killer, Ryan Kerrigan, still. They have the entire Alabama team on their defensive line, it seems.
Yep. Payne and Allen, yeah.
They have a rejuvenated corner core, which is younger now, so we will see a little bit of change
there. I don't know if I'd call him rejuvenated, though.
I wouldn't say rejuvenated. I'd say re-sculpted to an extent.
I want them to hit him on a deep ball so, so bad.
I want Deshaun. I want John Hightower. I want every single player they can to go and run a double move on Ronald Darby because I truly think it'll work. And frankly, like you said, I want them to come out and really put to bed some of the question marks that we've seen the last couple seasons. The slow starts, get them out of the way. Allow this team to stretch the field. I mean, we saw it last year in about a quarter and a half of this team in the third and fourth quarter last year when Deshaun got hot, of them just throwing the ball down the field. It's going to be fun to see. And now this Jim Schwartz defense, which that front four is as good as we've ever seen here in Philadelphia, Lou, could on paper arguably be one of the best. that, I mean, one of the top five units that ever. I mean, between, you'd say, like, 92, I would say, it was an unreal unit. 2004, 2017 when they won the Bowl, yep. And probably this year, and maybe another year in the 80s or 90s. But frankly, with three Pro Bowlers at that position, at interior rusher alone, and then Brandon Graham, who should be an Eagles Hall of Famer, to say the least, at your edge rusher position, with Josh Sweat, who I think could be the second best edge rusher on this team this year, Lou. Mm-hmm. I am beyond excited for this team to come out next Sunday, because it's going to be different. I just have a different feel for this team. Like, they're not the same team that has Mike Groh around and has Corey Unlin. Like, do you think the corners will be different? I truly do. Do you think the wide receivers will be better route runners and able to create more separation? I truly do. Mm-hmm. Do I think Miles Sanders will be confused in his first couple outings and miss holes that he was supposed to hit? No. I think there's going to be a lot of things that you saw last year that are simply wiped off the table this year. One, because you have a rejuvenated offense. Two, you have a rejuvenated secondary. And three, you have continuity. And that is going to be huge in this division alone, when no other team has had the same head coach moving into this year.
Absolutely, Gino. Good way to wrap up this edition of Locked On Eagles. It's game week now, so starting tomorrow, me and Gino will get into this matchup the Eagles have with Washington starting next Sunday. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, because now we got 4 to 6 episodes in your phone downloaded every single week. Or you can always listen to them as well on LockedOnEagles.com. And we're going to be talking birds all day, every day on Twitter. Follow us at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino_L-O-E. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And let's go, birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.